Praise the Lord for that special as well. And what a blessing it has already been just being in the house of the Lord. And I trust that you do sense the presence of God in this place. And we have already been ministered to through the music. And what a blessing that has been. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you would look with me to the book of Haggai. The book of Haggai, I know that might be a tough one for some. It's the 37th book of the Bible. And so if you go to the first book of the Bible, the first book of the New Testament, Matthew, just go back three other books, and you'll find this small little book of the Bible named Haggai. And we're going to be reading here in Haggai chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. 37th book of the Old Testament, coming to the end of it. You'll go ahead and stand with me. We'll read the Word of God together this morning. Haggai chapter 2, verse 1. In the seventh month, in the 1 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, "Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, of saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now, be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedech, the high priest. Be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this morning, we thank you for what we've already received in just being in this place today. And I pray, God, even now, that as we are a needy people and we need to hear from you, that God, that you would meet with us in a very special way. I pray, God, that you'd give each one here that ear to hear exactly what you have to say to them individually, and then collectively as this church. I ask that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. In 536 BC, Zerubbabel led about 50,000 Hebrew Jews back to Jerusalem out of captivity to reestablish the worship of God. They laid the foundation and then stopped. 15 years passed. 15 years later, under the preaching of Haggai and the prophet Zechariah, the work on the temple was revived. But as they were building this second temple, many were comparing this new temple with the first. In verse 3, the Bible says, "Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory?" Now, if we had time, we'd go into the Old Testament and we would study as Solomon built this first great, mighty temple of God. I mean, it was built out of the finest material from all around the world. And how it had the it was filled with the glory of God and everything. In Solomon's glory, he built this temple. And what a glorious temple it was. But how do you see it now? Second temple was not as glorious as far as a size, as far as building materials. And the Bible says, is it not in your eyes in comparison as nothing? It was not as glorious as the first, and they saw it as nothing. God knew their inner thoughts. God sent a prophet to reveal to them some of their inner thoughts. Can I tell you that comparisons can often lead to discouragement, disappointments, and even dismay, not wanting to do the work. Possibly in your own heart and mind thinking, is it really what I want to do? Is it really the kind of life that I want to live? Is it worth the price that I have to pay? That might have been why they stopped earlier when they first went back under the leadership of Zerubbabel, 50,000 Hebrew Jews. God delivered them out of captivity. They went back to Jerusalem, the homeland. And after they finished the foundation itself would have revealed the size of the building. Is it why they stopped? In chapter 1, we find that Haggai addresses this. In chapter 1, look there with me, verses 3 through 5. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? They stopped working on the house of the Lord, the temple, and built their own houses. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Nothing wrong with building a house, but to totally neglect the house of God? To lose sight of the reason that God sent you back to Jerusalem? The reason for your deliverance from captivity? The reason for your presence in Jerusalem? And you've lost sight of the reason, the purpose you went there, for which you went there. Now therefore, verse 5, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Possibly the reason they were comparing this new house, this new temple, to the old temple. When they realized it was not going to be as glorious as what the old temple was, and they looked around, they didn't think that there was anybody there that really wanted, that really even cared about having the temple rebuilt, being influenced more by the society around them concerning how they were going to spend their lives and how what they were going to focus on. They left building the temple of God and they started focusing more on building their own houses. So God's message to them through Zerubbabel in chapter 2, as we just read, he said, verse 4, yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest. And be strong, listen to me, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord. And work. Be strong and work. Be strong to reject a negative spirit. To be strong and to reject comparing what I've got for you to do today in building this temple to what the temple was back in Solomon's day. When the glory of the Lord filled the temple and Solomon in his great glory, the whole world envied Solomon. The whole world envied the children of Israel. The whole world envied the wisdom of Solomon and the buildings that he built. And they came from all around the world to see what Solomon was able to accomplish in Jerusalem. Now, if we go back in history, this was the main hub of the world. This is what the whole world looked to, and they heard about what Solomon was able to do in all his great glory. And the queens and the kings of all the other nations around the world wanted to learn from Solomon, wanted to learn how they were able to do what they had been doing. And it wasn't that way now. There was a remnant of the Hebrew Jews now back in Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the people of the land, did not want them to come back. They were upset that they were given the opportunity to go back into the homeland, to go back into Jerusalem and try to reestablish the worship of an almighty creator God. And by establishing the worship of God, was going to build this temple. The people in the land did not want this to take place. But God, in his great glory, led this remnant back, and they knew that this was why they were there, not for themselves. They were there to represent God. They were there to rebuild this temple. And they quit. And God's message to them was, be strong. Overcome that negative spirit of comparison. Overcome whatever it is that's hindering you from doing what I've called you to do. Be strong. Do what I have you here to do. Work. And in telling them that, he tells them what they were to be mindful of. Now, I love this. What he tells them now, be strong, reject whatever it is that's causing you to stop the work, and get back to work and get back to doing what I've put you there to do. Get back to rebuilding this temple. And he tells them what they need to be mindful of. Verse 4, the last of verse 4. For I am with you, said the Lord of hosts. When you're doing your own thing, you have already forsaken the thought of God. When you fail to acknowledge God, you will not do what God would have you to do. When you're more influenced by the world, then you're going to be mindful of the world. And if you allow the world to influence you more than the Spirit of God and the Word of God, then you're not going to be doing the things that God would have you to do. You're going to be associating yourself with more of what the world is doing. And so we find here that the first thing that God says, that be strong, Get control of your heart, get control of your mind, get control of your thoughts, and realize what's most important. The reason I sent you back to Jerusalem, the reason I delivered you from the captivity, the reason that you're there is to, first of all, in restoring this worship of God, rebuild the temple. Know that I'm with you. I'm with you. According to the covenant that he made with them, he told them they were a chosen people to him. And he covenanted with them that my spirit will always be with you. They lost sight of that. What God was saying is, I'm on your side. And if I'm on your side, if God be for you, who can be against you? It doesn't matter who's against you when you know that God is with you and God is for you. You and God are a majority. Listen to me. That is something that Satan would love you, love to blind you to. That is something that the world would want to blind you to. And if you're not careful, you'll lose sight of the presence of God. And without sight the influence of the presence of God, you're going to turn to the things that are of the world. You're going to lose focus. You're going to lose a concentration on what's most important in my life. I love it in sports. I used to play a lot of sports. Right now, because of my age and capabilities, I've just focused it down to mainly golf. Amen. Something that I can play into my old age. I'm not old, but I am older. Amen. So the years of basketball, especially the years of football, and all the different things, the sports that you're going to have physical contact with, you know, that's a history. I don't want to get hurt now, amen? And I would get hurt if I tried that. So I learned I had to give that up. But I remember in sports, we'd get out there, all of us guys, and we'd choose up teams. And I always knew the ones that I said, I want that one on my team. Because if I can get that person on my team, it's over. Amen. If I can get this basketball player when we're playing basketball on my team, with him on my team, we're on a winning team. If I could get this guy when we played football, now it was not the same guy when we played football. It was a different set of talents. It was a different type of physical makeup, you know. You didn't care about the height as much as you cared about the strength to where no one can tackle him. He's going to get the ball. I don't care if they're 5 or 6 hanging on him. He's going to go to across the goal line. He's going to score a touchdown. And so when we was playing football, I always remembered, if I can get this person on my team, with this person on my team, it's over. Amen. Anybody else ever experienced something like that? I think all of us. You realize that when you're choosing teams, and I know it's always very difficult to realize I'm the last one still here. Come on, guys. You know, I can contribute something. You know? But those that had the best skills were the ones that they wanted first of all, because with their skills, what they would offer, what they would bring to the team, if they were on your team, then you had a winning team. When God's on your side, doesn't matter who's against you. It's over. You have the victory. You have that which you need to be successful. You have that which you need to overcome whatever it is, the obstacles, whatever the those that are against you, whatever it is, whatever kind of a spiritual power that comes against you. And Satan is a force. This world is a force. And whatever comes against you, if you have God on your side, you and God are a majority, and you and God are going to be victorious. Israel lost sight of that. Solomon lost sight of that in his older years. But when he was aware of that, most powerful nation on planet Earth, had greater wisdom, was able to do, had the his people, that when they would come, and the Bible records, when they would come, they said, how are all your people so happy? The thing that people would, when they would come to observe Solomon, and they would come to observe Israel, they would come and see the huge temple that was built, and they would see the lifestyle, and what would get to them, how are the people happy? Everyone seems like they have something that we don't have. They have this inner peace. They have a joy. They have purpose for life. They get along. Listen to me. That's exactly the testimony that Jesus Christ would have us to have in society today. Amen. Right. I am with you. You're a chosen people. Fear you not, because I have a covenant with you. That's what I told him. The second thing he tells him, he said, this is what you need to think about. Be strong, get rid of the negative spirits, and focus on this. Focus on the fact that I am with you. The second thing he tells them to focus on, verse 6 and 7, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. If we had time, I'd break that down for you and help you understand. That was the promise of the coming of the Messiah. That's what he was telling them, that one day the Messiah is coming. The promise of all nations. He come to be the Savior of the world. I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. What he is telling them at this time, the second thing that they were to keep on their minds, it is a little while. The new house is what you have to work with for now. You're comparing this new temple with the old temple. He said the old temple's gone. The days of Solomon's rule and reign, the days when Israel was the envy of the world, that's gone. A lot of things have changed since then. You've been in captivity. The world is changing. I brought you out of captivity, and this is what I have for you today. Stop comparing it to what they had in Solomon's day. This is the purpose that I have for you today. This is the work that I have for you to do now. Say, focus on what work I have for you to do now. What a great thought to keep on your mind. If you're starting to compare things to how they used to be, and we'll get into this in just a minute, or you start comparing things to your parents, and you start comparing things to the Bible days, whatever it might be, before you know it, you might find yourself getting discouraged because I don't have that today. You might find yourself being disappointed. You might find yourself even wondering, is it really worth it? It's a little while. You're thinking it's nothing, but it is not nothing. It's a great deal. It's what I have for you today. It's your part in the scheme of things. Stay focused on it. The last thing he says here in verse 9, he says, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former. Now he's talking about the millennial reign right there. If you don't know that, he's talking about what it's going to be in the millennial reign when Christ is going to sit on the throne for 1,000 years, and it will be much greater than it was even in Solomon's day. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts, and in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. This latter house shall be greater than the former. He says, what I want you to keep focused on here as well is the best is yet to come. This is not all there is. Amen. Can you see how God knew their thoughts? And he says, now be strong, get rid of that negative spirit, and do what I've put you there to do. And these are the things that he gave them to think about. First and foremost, what's most important, for I am with you. Second of all, it's only for a temporary time. And the third thing is, the best is yet to come. If we would stay focused on that, it will help us from being discouraged. It would help us from being disappointed. It would help us from wanting to say, what is it? It's not worth it. Why should I try to live the Christian life and do what God would have me to do? Well, nobody even wants it. See, because in comparison, for us, doing the work that God has us to do today. This is the New Testament church age. Christianity in America is not what it once was, if you haven't noticed. It's not popular. I'm talking not in the world, I'm just talking America, which was established as a Christian nation. which honored the Bible, the very words of God, which wanted the Ten Commandments on display, that wanted the people to pray and ask God to bless America, that wanted to live in a way that God could bless America, who established the Ten Commandments as something that was to guide us in our moral lives in America. The position of a pastor used to be respected. Church was a given. To call yourself a Christian was something that you could be proud of. It's not the way it is today. The glory of that day in America is gone. Reality. It's not popular to take the stands that the Bible wants you to take today. Matter of fact, they're even wanting to continue to establish new laws that would tell you if you take that stand, you could be in danger of being placed in jail, in prison. And if you take that stand as a church, you could be in danger of losing your tax-exempt status. If you continue to look to this Bible and allow that to guide your morality, if you continue to look to this Bible and let that guide your way of thinking, you're going to be persecuted. And that which is good is going to be presented as that which is evil, and that which is evil is going to be presented as that which is good in the society that we live in. And it might lead some to discouragement. The older you are, the more you had a little taste of when Christianity was still somewhat popular in America. It might lead you to be disappointed. Why, God, have you allowed things to go in the direction it's went? And why have you allowed evil to become presented as good? And good presented as evil. Might even lead you, as you compare, to say, why should I live that life? People really don't want it. They don't want to hear a Bible message. They don't want to hear how God would have us to live. They don't really want to hear what the Bible has to say about morality. It's not popular. Maybe I just need to focus on my own house and building my own life. Focus on what I want to do. Haggai chapter 1, when Haggai went to the people and told them to consider your ways, you've left off doing what God told you to do and you've turned to building your own houses. Verse 3 through 5, but then continue on, if you will. Verse 6, you have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. You think that you were doing that which was going to bring you more. Has that worked out for you? Is turning your back on God and forsaking are the roots of our country, redefining God's will for our lives, has that really helped you? Look at where you're at today. Have you greater blessings? Or has it led to the kind of chaos that we hear on the news every day? Has it led people to have this mentality to waste their lives and take as many lives with them as they can? You can never stop someone with that mentality of hurting others. You can put all the safety things in place. You can make everybody have to go through metal detectors. You can put barricades up. But somebody with that mentality can take out other people's lives. You have to change that mentality. You have to get back to understanding that there is a God. And there is a judgment of sin that goes far beyond this physical life. There is a place of damnation. There is a place of hell. There is a place of torment. There are wages to sin, and the end of that is death. But instead of lifting the Bible up and seeing a greater need today than ever before for Christianity, we have so many that just turn to their own. Oh, how we need to focus on God's work today. Not man's work, not religion. We don't need more religion. We need more people standing for Christ. We need the mentality of Christ spread abroad. We need the love of God revealed. We need to love one another. You've heard that, but they don't understand what it means to truly love. They don't understand what it means to live as to please God and let God be our protector. How's it working out for you now that you turned away from building the temple and you focused on your own way of life, your own way of living, you focused on building your own houses? He said, you think you was going to get more and you have less. Then he says to them, he says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Is it really benefited society by turning away from the principles of the Bible? Has it helped our United States of America? Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Amen. That's exactly what we have need of today in doing the work that God has called us to do. We must get rid of a negative spirit and do the work that God has us here to do today. We have a new covenant made with humanity, to all that would believe in Jesus Christ, through his precious blood that we heard sang about earlier today, through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, you can be saved and you can have your sins washed away and you can have the promises of God that you can claim. You have a covenant with God and you can claim his presence. For he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You can claim the idea that this is for just a little while. This is just a little while. It's only temporary that we're going to be in this physical flesh. And we're going to have to deal with these physical battles. It's temporary. Eternity is everlasting. And for sure, the best is yet to come. What they needed to focus on is the very same thing that Christianity needs to focus on in this year 2016 in America. If we want things to change. Jesus said in giving the Great Commission, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end. He's on our side. The question is, are you on his side? See, because quite often, I didn't get the one that I wanted. And because I didn't get the one that I wanted, we were on the losing team. So it's not all about wanting him on my team. It's making sure that I'm on his team. If you're on his team, you have his presence. If you have his presence, it's over. You're on the winning side. Are you on his team? He allows you to make that decision. You can either receive him or you can reject him. You can go on, live life doing your own thing. You can. And you can build your own houses, but where is that really going to get you in the overall scheme of things? Be strong and work. Do the work that I have for you to do, because it's very important work. New Testament Christianity, very important work today. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Are you on his side? You're on his side. He's on your side. You have his promises. You're on his side. You'll want to do the work that he has you here to do. Can I say that I'm doing that? If you're doing that, you can claim all the promises that he has given. Before you leave here today, choose Christ. Choose to be on his side. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you, we thank you for this passage in Haggai, which helps us to understand things for us today. And not comparing Christianity to what it used to be, but comparing it to what it is today and how the great need for it today in our society. And yet fewer and fewer are wanting to give themselves to live the Christian life as out. Lined by you. Help us to have that desire to be strong and do the work. For this we pray in Jesus' name.